Well, I guess we can check it and see. It does seem a little light on the monitor as far as mine's. Yeah. The piano sounds good.
Something's on the floor.
Yes.
Check, check, check.
One, two, three, four. Check, check, check. One. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat.
Check, check.
Check, check.
Bring number one.
Yeshua.
Thank you. Bring number one up a little bit.
I'd say I'm a little loud. Why don't you bring me down? Would you agree, Dawn?
Yeah. Yeah, bring. Check, check.
Bring me down. Hello.
Shabbat shalom. Check, check.
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Carol. Can you hear me? Testing one, two. Testing one, two. Shabbat shalom.
Check, check, you're a little loud, but
a little loud.
Checking, checking. Check, check, check. Checking. Just a little more for me. Just a tad more. And don't put it in the house, put it in the monitor. Checking. Checking. Unless you need it. Okay. With God. Still a little, it seems, just pull those two down just a little more in the monitor.
Testing one.
How
two,
does that
three.
Go, Dawn?
Check.
With God, we'll gain the last piece.
With God, we'll gain the victory.
With God, we'll gain the victory.
And this is the verse. And you might just let me do the verse, okay? The horse is made ready for the day of battle. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Just want to welcome everyone. This is our Yehuda Messianic Congregation in Bristol, Virginia. And we're going to get started here. Welcome to everyone online to our Shabbat service, our Shabbat morning service. And we're going to have a good time today. And we'll have a liturgy and some songs, worship songs in the beginning, and then we'll have a message later on. So stay tuned, all right? And so let's join in with our welcome to the Lord, Shabbat Shalom and Yom Zeh. All right, hallelujah. For some reason, I'm just not getting through up here. Make sure it's up here, not so much out there if you don't need it. Hallelujah. Oh, okay. And Diane says it's quiet in the house, too, so just as far as, okay. Hallelujah. Let's bless the Messiah this morning. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher natin lano edarech ha-Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Israel, our God. place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. As for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time, O God, in your abundant righteousness. Answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Vishamru.
Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam.
B'nei u'b'nei, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, ohi le'olam.
Ve'shamru, b'nei Yisrael, et ha'shabbat, la'sod et ha'shabbat, le'dorotam barit olam.
Ki sheshet yamim
asa Adonai, et shemayim v'sharetz. Ve'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha'shabbat la'sod et ha'shabbat le'dorotam barit olam.
V'yom ha'shvi'i Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash.
V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha'shabbat la'sod et ha'shabbat le'dorotam barit olam.
Children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the loves of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem,
Sheva Shemayim, our Father in heaven, we just pray today, pray for your people Israel in the diaspora today. pray for the peace of your people Israel living in exile. Lord, I pray for their shalom. I pray, Lord, for their peace. I pray for their salvation, that the scales would fall from their eyes. There's millions of them living in the nations, living in the United States and Europe and Canada and South America and all over the world. And we just pray for them, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them and move the scales from their eyes, Lord. Pray for our families. I pray for my mother, Harriet, and my brother, my sisters, and their families, and my cousins. I pray for their salvation, Lord. And I thank you that I believe you're going to save my household. And I thank you for that, Lord. Father, I just pray, Lord, for the Messianic community, Lord. I pray that you would bring righteous government to us, to our leadership, that you would, our leaders, our executive committee, and our MJA leaders and so forth, would lead us in righteousness and justice and integrity. That you would, if there's anyone that's not of you, that is not doing your job, your will, that you would bring in the right people. I pray, Lord, that our leaders would lead us prophetically with vision, with foresight, and with boldness and courage, Lord. Unlike the hurricanes, there was no central leadership for that, and we need that, Lord. When a crisis comes, we need central leadership. So I pray that you establish centralized leadership in our movement, Lord. And I pray for our congregations as well, Lord. I pray that you would bless the rabbis today, bless them, give them the desires of their heart, Lord. Help them with their messages. Help them to be bold and uncompromising and to preach the truth in love, and to minister in power and anointing today, and heal the rabbis, those who are sick, minister to them, meet their needs financially and otherwise, and encourage their hearts today, Lord. I pray in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, and we pray for our president today on this Veterans Day, Lord. I pray for the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. Even though he is serving in the armed forces, he's the commander in chief. So we pray for President Trump today, as he's in Vietnam with Mr. Putin, and we just pray, Lord, for his health and his family. We pray also for his leadership, that you bless our nation under his stewardship. Lord, that you would stop this division and this fighting and this obstruction that's going on in our government, so that work can be done, and that the people, the will of the people that sent them there can be accomplished, Lord. And we just pray that you would overcome the obstruction and let the government operate, Lord. And we pray also for our soldiers abroad today, for the military, those fighting in war, the veterans of foreign war who are fighting today, who are standing guard, who are driving in dangerous places and with roadside bombs and IEDs, and that you would protect them and encourage their hearts today, Lord. And we pray for the wounded veterans, Lord, for your comfort, your mercy, for help, strength, and all the homeless veterans, the tens of thousands of homeless veterans, that it's a crying shame that they're on the street, but that you would give them help, render them help, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen.
And now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles,
that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Amen.
Be gracious, O Lord our God, to your people
Israel,
and accept their prayer. Restore the worship of Israel.
Asher enochim etzocha hayom al levavecha, v'shinatam levanecha, v'dibarta baham, v'shivtecha b'veitecha, uvelechtecha v'derech, uveshach becha, uvekumecha, ukeshartam liot al yadecha, v'hayu letotefot b'neinecha, uchataftam al mezuzot b'teicha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. Let them be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house, upon your gates.
Okay. I'd like to ask Greg and Isaac to carry the Torah today, if you prepare yourselves. And if Anthony, if you would open the ark for them when they come.
Let's all stand, please.
answer to that is Ein kamocha ba'elim Adonai ve'ein kemasecha Machucha machucho olamim Umem sheltecha v'chol dor v'dor Adonai melech Adonai malach Adonai imloch le'olam v'ed Adonai oz li'amo yitain Adonai yivarech et amo b'shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thy
Vayahi ben Soharon Vayamem Moshe Adonai Vefutsu Oyvecha Vianusu Misanecha Mipanecha Ki Mitzion Tetse Torah Ki Mitzion Tetse Torah Udvar Adonai Mi-Yerushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael B'kdushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Rise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. And all God's people say, Amen, Amen and praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Well, welcome, folks, watching us on live stream. Are you streaming? Woo! Are you swimming in the stream? Come on, let's all swim in the stream. Come on, everybody. Let's swim. Woo! We're swimming in the stream today.
All right. I like it.
I'm doing what do you call it? The crawl?
The crawl.
Now I'm going to do the breaststroke? Yeah. Breaststroke. Okay. Now I'm going to do the backstroke. The dog paddle. Wendell, show us the dog paddle. Everybody watch Wendell. He's dog paddling. Praise the Lord. We're all in the stream. And Wendell's behind everybody.
It's very refreshing.
I'm coming in. He's catching up. We're glad you're with us today. And this is Lion of Judah for Zion's Sake Ministries and Ari Yehuda, Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation. We're glad to have you. And I'm Rabbi Joe, and this is Mama Dawn, Rebbetzin Dawn. She's the boss. next to the big guy. And anyway... So we're glad you're here today. I want to welcome everybody else that's here, and let us know you're here. Get on Facebook and tell us, say hello. Send us an email if you're on our website. We're going to go to the Lord's table in a little while, and we're going to take the fruit of the vine, and we'll take the bread. So if you want to join us for that, you can do that, and... If you don't have a Messianic congregation in your area and you'd like to be with us each week, we welcome you. Invite your friends over and you can watch and join with us. Let us know you're watching and so forth. We're just glad to have you. All right. What's next, Miss Dawn?
Ya'amod.
The Ya'amod.
Alamod.
Last night I had Alamod. I had these brownie bite things, and I had two of them. They were only 99 cents. But if you paid $2, it went to veterans. So I paid the $2 each, and it went to veterans' wheelchairs. But it was a certain restaurant with a B in it and an apple. But anyway, we have these brownie bites, and you know what? They're more than a bite.
They were bigger than said.
They were bigger than a bite, yeah. I'll tell you.
They were big.
So just a little tip. Instead of getting the whole big brownie with ice cream for six bucks, just get two brownie bites, man. I mean, that is a meal.
Wow, you can find some really good information during the Ar Yehuda Messianic Congregation service.
Ya'amod and Alamod, you know, it's kind of close. Okay, Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah. Baruch et Adonai Hamavorach.
Baruch Adonai
Hamrach Lelam Va'ed. Baruch Adonai Hamrach Lelam Va'ed. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam. Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim. Ve'natan lanu et Torato. Baruch Atah Adonai Notein HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God,
King of the universe,
who has chosen us from all peoples
and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord,
giver of the Torah. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Mr. Anthony Cody.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, today's parasha is Kaye Sarah, which is about Sarah's life. And I hope my cuff drop lasts long enough here to get through this. There's 3 points today I'm going to make, and then that will be the parasha. Of course, it's talked about Sarah, and we're going to talk a little bit about her burial, and then a bride for Isaac. But actually, this parasha begins with her telling us about her death rather than so much about her life. But you see, with Sarah in this parasha, you see there is a hidden message within it. And it tells us about the life of her and how she lived and the type of person that she was. She was what you would call maybe a spiritual tree to die. And I think with that, they purchased a piece of property, but her influence continues today. That's why it's a hidden message here today, because of the type of person that her influence transcends today. She is an influence to all women and girls that are daughters of Sarah. Really, the influence is the spiritual character that she expressed. She illuminates the holiness throughout the week, just like other ladies do today. The candles are lit on Shabbat, but the women's illumination, the spiritual illumination, continues throughout the whole week. They are in a lot of homes, they are the spiritual leader. The Torah tells us that Sarah, her life or her age is broken into three parts. It says she lived 100 years, she lived 20 years, and then she lived 7 years. The sages tell us in their writings that she was as beautiful when she died as she was when she got married to Abraham. Her beauty never did change. She reminds us that as we change as we grow, and we become different things throughout our life. She was a righteous person unto God, and her influence, as I mentioned earlier, extends today. Sarah teaches us to have strength and to be able to change for the better each day that we live. And Abraham, when she passed away, he buys a parcel of land in Hebron, which was included a cave, which was called Malpekah. And this burial site is where all the patriarchs and the matriarchs are buried except Rachel. And, of course, she died and was buried in Bethlehem. All the other patriarchs and matriarchs were buried. Abraham bought this plot of land from Ephraim the Hittite for 400 shekels of silver, and it became the first cornerstone of the Jewish people in the land of Israel. And there was two more purchases that were made later in the scriptures, and that was the buying of the land in Shechem where Joseph was buried, and of course the Temple Mount that David purchased. They were all purchased with pieces of silver. That was sort of the currency then. And actually, Shechem became the first capital of Israel. But with Sarah's death, Abraham wants to find a bride for Isaac. So he sends his servant Eliezer back to the kin folks to see if he can locate a wife for Isaac to help him absorb some of the sorrow that he has with the passing of his mother. And Eliezer, he asks God to give him a sign, and he says, well, let the maiden that comes and says, can I water your camels, let that be the one that you have selected for Isaac's wife. And if you read the Torah portion, you know Rebekah came and she asked to water the camels, and that was quite an undertaking because camels drink a whole lot of water when they drink, and so each one drinks about 10 gallons of water. So he had several camels, so she labored there and she worked, and of course she agreed to become the wife of Isaac. And Rebekah was Abraham's, her father was Abraham's nephew, Bethuel, I believe is the way he pronounced his name. And so she returned to marry Isaac, and she helps him, you know, and is a comfort to him because of the passing of his mother, and he was very close to his mother. Abraham, at the end of the Torah portion, he does remarry and has six additional children. But it's interesting to note only Isaac was the only heir. And when Abraham, when he was born, of course, that covenant passed on to Isaac that he would be the seed bearer that would continue with the covenant of God. You know, when God, just to close this morning, you know, when God promised the land of Israel to the Israelites, that promise was a whole lot more than just a piece of property that God was given to the Israelites. If you look at, if you go and research what promised means, it means that it is a secured place. And that's what God not only promised the land to the Jewish people, but he promised them a place that they would live that would be secure and they would not have to worry about their enemies. So that is yet to come, but that day is rapidly approaching and could be tomorrow for all we know. Shabbat Shalom. Have a great day.
Torah, Asher, Sam, Moshe, Lifnei, B'nei, Israel, Al-Pi Adonai, Yad, Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel
at the command of the Lord through Moses' hands. Amen.
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Blessed. Amen.
Blessed,
yeah. Amen.
How are you, Rabbi?
I'm blessed. I'm very blessed.
Yes, you are.
I am. Thank you. Blessed beyond words, I tell you.
Amen. Hallelujah. And Rabbi got a good report this week on his blood test yesterday. So I want to thank God for that for sure. And
praise the Lord.
So we just keep praying and standing for his full recovery. Amen. Hallelujah. Just a couple of announcements. And Rabbi already mentioned veterans today. So we want to, before we get started, I just want to recognize all our veterans among us. And if you have served in the military, would you please stand? And we'll all recognize veterans this morning. And I'll just give them a hand. And hallelujah. Thank the Lord for everyone's service. And today is... What's that, Xavier? November the 11th. And that is today, isn't it? Hallelujah. And on the front here, we have a picture of the American flag and the Israeli flag there. And America stands with Israel. Amen. And so ultimately, our fight will be against the evil of this world. And America has done a lot to fight for righteousness in the world. And I thank God for our country and the people who have maintained righteousness in the world, who fought for that. So it's something to be thankful for. Amen. Hallelujah. So with that saying, I just also want to thank the Lord for Deborah Kleinine Torno that was here last week. Everybody enjoy her.
Praise the Lord.
Is she a blessing?
Yes.
And she told us that she really enjoyed you guys. I guess you went out to lunch with her after the service, and she reported that she had a great time. And she loved you all and thought you were just very precious. And she really appreciated your ministry to her after we left. And so we were not able to have lunch with her, but we got on the road and we got down to our missions conference that we were supposed to be speaking at in Paducah, Kentucky. And it took us about 9 hours to get there. So it was quite a long weekend for us, following the funeral for Madonna, and then the concert with Deborah Klein, and then getting on the road, packing and organizing. But we did make it, and Rabbi and I had a wonderful time of ministry with Mount Zion Baptist Church in Paducah. They were just so happy to have us. We talked about the Joseph Project, and we also talked about Messianic Judaism, the key to revival. And it was really a message that people were just drinking up and asking all kinds of questions. And I think, you know, we've got a connection there, and it was a really important connection for us to make. And the Lord really, he really kind of made us go down there, didn't he, Joe? Because we didn't want to. We thought it was
we drove through the
too
night.
Too much.
We came to service last Saturday, and then afterward we went home and packed. We all went to lunch. We didn't get out till 7 o'clock at night. And bless Pastor Wes, he's a sweet guy. He told me it was a 6-hour drive. It was 9 hours, and to the Illinois border, Paducah, Kentucky. And we got there at 4 o'clock in the morning. Because of central time and daylight savings time, we gained 2 hours. Otherwise, we'd have got there at 6 in the morning. We had to get up at 6:30. So thank the Lord he gave us central time and daylight savings time, so we slept 2 hours. And then we went to minister, and we ministered all day. I was the main speaker, and then we played music. We were the music, and I was the main speaker there. And they loved us, man. I preached the message, Messianic Judaism, the missing link to world revival, about how the church and the Messianic Jewish community must come together. And they loved it. They were just, man. There's a group of women up there that love Israel. Some of them were weeping. They were absolutely weeping, and they said, "Please stop." No, just kidding. It was a joke. No, they were weeping. They loved us. And they, man, when we talk about covered dish, Wendell, I got about through 10 feet of that covered dish, and my plate was full. There were about 30 feet to go. I just, you know, it was out of control. But God bless those Baptists. Anyway, so we had a great time with them up there at Mount Zion Baptist Church. Plug for Mount Zion Baptist Church in Paducah, Kentucky. Great people. Great pastor, great missions conference. Then we drove back and we stopped in Nashville, and we had some. I want to tell you, I just share a miracle. I posted a few pictures on Facebook, which you may not have understood why I posted them on the prayer line, but I'll explain to you. I had some business to do with the Secretary of State, and I called them. And I was in Nashville, and I called. You know, you get the phone bank. And I got this person on the Secretary of State's line, and they said, "Well, I'm sorry, sir. You're going to have to take your documents back to Bristol, get them notarized by a notary. Then you're going to have to take them to the county clerk, have them certified. Then you're going to have to pay the fees and all that, blah, 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 and send them or bring them back to Nashville. Well, I called our state senator here in the Bristol, Tennessee, and asked him if he was in town just to get a tour of the Capitol because I knew he'd be in the area. And he wasn't in town. He's in Colorado. And he said, you know, if you want a tour, just see the state police. And I said, so, all right. Well, I knew I'd been talking with Maggie McNally, whose father is Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally, who's the head of the Senate. And I was actually talking with her about, you know, hotels and places to eat in Nashville. But I said, you know, we would like a tour. Do you know, a way to get a tour? She said, oh, just call my dad's secretary, Debbie. So I called Debbie, and she said, oh, sure, Mr. Bell, I'll set up a tour for you, no problem. And I told her about the Secretary of State's thing, and she said, oh, let me call over there. So 5 minutes later, the general counsel of the Secretary of State of Tennessee, the lawyer for the Secretary of State, calls me and says, Mr. Bell, we'll take care of your thing. Just bring your documents, and we'll note. I'm a notary, she said. This is the attorney for the Secretary of State. Says I will notarize your documents for you. Then you can run them over to the Davidson County. You don't have to go back to Bristol, she said. You run over to the Davidson County clerk, and then come back and take your tour. Then she called me back 5 minutes later. The whole office, there were three people on the phone. They called me up. I said, Mr. Bell, you know what? You don't even have to go to the Davidson County clerk. We'll send a courier. And you just take your tour, and when you get back from your tour, your documents will be waiting for you.
Awesome. That's what I call favor.
Is that favor? Is that a miracle? And not only that, they said to me, I said, Mr. Bell, we said, we have a big van. Is there a place to park? They said, Mr. Bell, we'll get you a parking space. And when I went to the gate, the state police were there. They said, are you handicapped? I said, no, but, I've got some, my aches and pains is what I said. And they said, okay, sir. And they put me right by the front door of the Capitol. It was absolutely amazing. And then to top that off, Dawn's one of her dearest friends. She has about three friends that are her dear friends. And, you know, she has three best friends: Chris and Jennifer and
Carlene.
And Carlene. She has four best friends: Chris, Jennifer, Carlene, and Joan.
Joan.
And Joan. And she loves Joan. And Joan, she hasn't seen her. Joan's a pilot for Delta. And she hasn't seen Joan in about, I don't know, almost 20 years.
Well, I went to her wedding, which was in, like,
okay,
2005.
So that was like, oh, okay, so 15 years, or whatever, 13 years, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so she hadn't seen her in a long, long time. And Joan, she talked to her, and Joan said, I'm flying in from L.A. to Nashville tonight. This is the day we were at the Capitol. She said, I'm flying into Nashville tonight. Well, we were going to leave, but I said, you know what, honey? We'll spend one more night, and we'll hang out with Joan. We'll have dinner with her. So we arranged it, and we had the greatest time. I love Joan. She's just the great. You'd love her too. It was a divine appointment, Wendell. And she was asking us about the Lord. She doesn't know the Lord. She was asking us questions about the Lord, and very open, and helping Dawn with flying stuff. It was just a wonderful trip, and after a very hard week last week. We were really encouraged by that, and so that's why I shared those pictures. And I don't always share pictures on the prayer thing, but if I do,
when I do,
there's a reason. When I share things like that, there's a reason I'm sharing it. Amen. It's not just trivial. I wanted to share the miracle with you that God did by the Secretary of State, but it was too long, so I figured I'd tell you. All right, all done. Dawn, what's next?
Well, that's really about it. Just don't forget.
You were talking about the stage at the end of the service.
Oh, yes. Okay. All right, two more things.
Paul Wilbur, too.
Yeah. Thank you. My bullets are coming over here.
Shh.
Bullet points. All right, so Paul Wilbur first.
Okay. Paul Wilbur.
This is the comedy hour at R. Yehuda. That's okay.
Paul Wilbur.
It's Paul Wilbur, Saturday evening, December 2nd, and I believe it's going to be at the Holiday Inn. So tell your friends. We're going to start to have flyers, and we're going to send information out on the next newsletter, which is probably going to be this next week. So everybody, you know, just kind of be ready to get a phone call from Robin, not Paul, but Robin, my assistant. I have vice out of control.
Maria's losing it.
I know. Maria's losing it, and Joe's out of control. All right, and I'm going to let Wendell speak now. Go ahead.
I'd like to apologize that we didn't get nothing done out there. We're supposed to, and I kind of feel bad about it. But
closer to the mic.
I kind of feel bad about we didn't get nothing done, but we have to do it legally. So we have to get a permit, okay, because it's plumbing. And, you know, we got to know where the pipes goes. So y'all keep in prayer that we can work that out. And I need to get together and draw a plan. So we can get a permit. You have to give that to the health department because of the plumbing. But we really do want to fix that. So I'm sorry that if I couldn't get a hold of you and say, hey, don't come.
We need to call Fred. Fred's shown up twice, Fred Middleton, and he's shown up twice to work, and nobody's been there. So
Fred, I'm sorry. But we're going to get the permit and do it the right way, okay? So y'all be in prayer about that.
All right, so stay in touch. We will have a work day. And so the last thing I want to mention, and Rabbi and I, by the way, are not probably going to stay for Oneg. Joshua's got his last game, so I'm scooting out of here to go up to Honaker, Virginia for that. It's a championship thing. But are we set for Oneg today? Have we got stuff down there? Yeah, okay. All right, so you guys enjoy. And
I might come down for a little bit, but
Rabbi
Don's
might come
take off.
But I'm going to take off. Okay? But the last thing I want to remind you is, please, following the service, I'm going to ask you, and we say this from time to time, but just remind, I know you guys have things you want to talk to Rabbi about, but please let him, do not come up here on the stage after the service. Everybody say that with me.
Do not
come up on the stage and talk to Rabbi after the service. It's not that he doesn't want to talk to you, okay? It's that he needs to get his stuff so that he can get down to the fellowship hall. And if people block his way, he can never get down there. So if you need to talk to him, just go on down there and wait. All right. And
wait till I come off the stage.
Or wait till he comes down off the stage. But, you know, he's very tired after ministering. And just, you know, give him, don't cheer his ear off. We need his ears, right, Rabbi?
Yeah, I guess he needs
your ears.
I need everything I can get.
Don't chew his ears off. Let him come on down and get something in his belly. All right, and then he'll be happy to sit and chat with you, okay? All right, and now, is there anything else?
Yeah, I'm scheduled for surgery on my foot on Monday. I've had chronic plantar fasciitis. Had it 8 or 9 years, but they're planning to cut the tendon in my foot, the plantar tendon, or the fascial tendon, whatever they call it. And it's kind of creepy because he tells me that it won't cause my foot to collapse. But, you know, I'm going in Monday at 8 for that, and I'll be out of commission. I'll be pretty slowed down a bit for a week or two. I'll be able to go out and get around. I just won't be able to get around fast. And so that surgery is Monday morning. Thank you. Okay.
And that's all. I think that's all. All right.
We're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And if you're watching at home and you'd like to participate, you can give online at our website. For those here, The box is right over there. We always bring our tithes to the Lord just like they did in the temple. And God loves a cheerful giver. Let's pray. Wendell, would you pray for the offering?
Father Yeshua, we come before you this morning, God. And we just ask, God, that you would allow people to see how important it is to give their tithes, Lord, so it can rebuke their devourer and their finances, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, and I just pray, God, that you would bless those that don't have to give. And anybody in this congregation, Lord, needs a job, Lord, we'll pray, God, that they'll have a job so they can give also, that their life will be blessed. And we thank you for it in Yeshua's name. Amen.
You.
Hallelujah. He's made you his delight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, living when they're yielded to you, Father. Take our lives. Take my life, Lord. I yield it to you, Father. I only live when I'm in you. When we're not in you, when we're not yielded to you, we're not living. We are just skimming the surface, and we're being used by the enemy, Lord. Father, when we're not yielded to you, we are unbeknownst to us. We're walking in the ways that lead others down difficult paths to destruction, Lord. Help us to always live in you. Help us to live in you. Help us to give our lives as little olives crushed in the press, as grapes walked on for the wine. I share low you.
Folks at home, if you're going to join us, we're going to go to the Lord's table now. So if you have some matzah or crackers or grape juice, this is the time to get ready. And Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Yeshua said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me will bear much fruit. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the middle piece of bread, the afikomen of Passover, and he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and he said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. On that same Passover night, Yeshua took the cup, we call the cup of redemption, the third cup of the Passover meal, and he said, this cup is the Brit Chadashah, the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Deborah, would you like to serve? Okay. And Maria, would you like to come and serve today? Thank you. We invite all believers in Yeshua to come to the table of the Lord. You don't have to be a member of our congregation, but we invite all believers. If God has revealed his Son to you, that he is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that he was buried 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead on the third day, then if you believe that, and you believe that Yeshua, that Jesus is the Messiah, then we invite you to come. And if you've received forgiveness through his blood, we invite you to come to the Lord's table. Let's bow our heads for a moment. If there's anybody here, anybody watching that doesn't know Yeshua, just raise your hand. And if you don't know Yeshua, raise your hand and I'll pray with you if you don't know him today. And anybody here that does not know Yeshua? Hallelujah. All right. If you're at home and you don't know Yeshua, you don't know Jesus, all you have to do is just say, Dear God, I believe that somehow this Jesus, this Yeshua is real, and I want to know him. I want to know him, and I need his forgiveness. And ask him to forgive you of your sins, of your transgressions. We've all broken God's law. All have fallen short of the glory of, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one of us who is righteous, no, not one who is perfect. God's standard is perfection. None of us meets it. And And so that's why we need a mediator. We needed a Messiah to mediate our sins between us and God, so that we could, by his righteousness, we could obtain forgiveness of sin. And so if that speaks to you, just invite him to forgive you. Ask him to come into your heart and dwell in you, and just thank him for his salvation, for the free gift of eternal life. I believe he'll save you. He'll do that today. If you just ask him right where you are, praise God. And if you do, let us know. All right. Folks, prepare your hearts and come as you're ready to the table of the Lord.
Come.
Just 1-2. There we go. All right. Thank you. Okay. All right. L'chaim be Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. He is our life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. L'chaim. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I won't, before I begin and we pray, I just want to mention something. The Southeast Regional Conference is coming up in December. It's December 15th through the 17th. It's at the Rosen Plaza, Orlando, Florida. It is an awesome conference at a beautiful hotel. And, you know, if you can't afford trips to Florida, you might be able to afford this one, okay? I'm going to tell you why. They, because of the conference, they get a room rate of about, I'm looking here where it is, but I don't know, it's like $75 a night. I mean, or 80, maybe it's $90. But I mean, where can you get a 4-star hotel for $90 a night? I don't know how often you stay in motels, but the average motel anymore, if you go to a Days Inn or a Holiday Inn Express, is $90 to $128 for a night in a motel, for a Holiday Inn Express or a Country Inn. In suites, you know, it's that much money. But for about like $90 a night, you can stay in a 4-star hotel with beautiful beds and a nice pool, and you'll hear speakers. Dr. Michael Brown's going to be there. All sorts of rabbis. I'll be teaching. Corey Bell will be there. Ted Pierce, Carlos Perdomo. And several other artists are going to be singing. Dr. Michael Brown is an incredible teacher. He's going to be doing a yeshiva there. If you just want to go and hang out at the pool and worship at night, you don't even have to register for the conference. You can just come down, go to the pool, and then come to the nighttime worship. And some people do that. You know, they don't encourage you to do that, but they do it. They don't register. They get the hotel rate for the conference, come down there, hang out at the pool all day, and then just come to the evening worship for free and get the evening message. That's just a little, you know, I know some people can't afford it all. The registration is if you're a member of the MJA, it's $115. And if you're not a member, it's $95. After the 15th of November, it's $115. And if you're a non-member, well, it's $135 to $155. You should join the MJA. It's like $35 or something a year. And you get a cheaper rate. But it's, yeah. To join the MJA, $25. $25 for membership to join the MJA. So
these flyers are outside. If you want to get a few days in Florida, Allegiant flies cheap flights for like $50, $70, you know, each way. You can get Allegiant right out of Tri-Cities. And why is the light not on? Huh? Ooh, the light came back. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. All right, let's pray for the message today. Today's message is Aaron's transformation, releasing the anointing and power of God through obedience, as demonstrated in the life of Aaron. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today, and we thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, for this message. And Lord, just empty me of Joe and bring forth your word today, right now. And anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see, Lord, and bind the strong man. And Lord, bless the children. Lord, they're not no class today for kids, but we bless them anyway. We thank you, Lord, that they are arrows in our quiver, Lord. They are a blessing. Children are a blessing. We pray for Joshua, especially today as he goes to another championship, a regional championship. And we pray for his safety and his success, his strength and his speed and his wit and his humility and his just give him the strength of Samson, the speed of Elijah, and give him the cunning and warrior spirit of David, and give him the humility of Solomon, and of Moses, and the wisdom of Solomon, Lord, and do the same for his team, Lord. Bless his teammates, keep them safe and healthy as they battle today, in Yeshua's name, amen. Okay. So today's message again is Aaron's transformation. We're going to look at the life of Aaron a little bit and how he transformed. And I want to say something about Aaron's transformation. Aaron's life transformation, his race, everybody say his race, went backwards. Okay? It started good and it didn't go well, and then it finished good. He finished good, but he started good. Then it went all downhill. Then, you know, all downhill from there, and then he finished good. And Aaron means mountain of strength from the Hebrew Aharon, as my dad's name was Aharon. Aaron, Joshua, my son, his middle name is Joshua. Joshua Aaron Bell. Aharon means mountain of strength. Aaron was born around 1574 B.C. He was from the tribe of Levi, the older brother of Moses. He was the founder, if you will, of the God was the founder, but Aaron was the first of the Levitical priest line. He's the Levitical priesthood was named after Aaron. And he had four sons, Eleazar, Itamar, Nadab, and Abihu. And one commentary said God used an unlikely person to serve in a key role. God used an unlikely person to serve in a key role when he used Aaron. And praise God. So, as I said before, Aaron had a very strong beginning. Turn to Exodus 17. Okay, the children of Israel had come out of Egypt, and the Amalekites were the first enemy they came to. And it says, verse 8, then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, or in Hebrew, that's Yehoshua. By the way, the name Yehoshua is not Jesus in English, it's Joshua. And the name for Yeshua is Jesus. So when you go to Israel, and if you stood in the old city of Jerusalem and you shouted out, Jewish friends, the end of all things is at hand,
and you shouted, you know, to everybody in the Jewish quarter in Jerusalem, the end of all things is at hand. Believe, repent and believe in the Lord Yehoshua. They'd look at you like you were crazy because they'd think you were saying repent and believe in Joshua. But if you said that, friends, Jewish friends, the end of all things is at hand, repent and believe in the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, they would stone you because they know that Yeshua is Jesus. And any Israeli who knows anything knows that Yeshua, not Yehoshua. So I want to make sure, there's a lot of confusion, a lot of people use that name to mean Jesus. It doesn't. Yehoshua is Joshua. Okay, so Moses, verse 9, said to Joshua, choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek tomorrow. I will station myself on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed, and when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. When the Lord said to Moses, write this in the book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. And that's interesting, because that goes on to Amalek, goes on to Saul defeating Agag, which he didn't do, and then to the book of Esther, Haman, the son of Agag, the Amalekite. God wanted to blot out Amalek and completely and utterly destroy him, his people. Saul failed at the mission, and that's why we have the book of Esther. But anyway, let's look at this. So what was going on here? We see that the elders, two of the elders, Hur and Aaron, when they lifted Moses' arms, Moses, his anointing was great. And they fought the Amalekites. The Amalekites were as numerous locusts. They were a huge army. But it wasn't the power of the army. Remember I said a couple weeks ago, I taught about Gideon, and that one plus God is an army? Here's a perfect example of that. What won the war was lifting Moses' arms. Moses' anointing. Everybody say Moses' anointing. That won the war. Not Joshua and the army, but it was Moses' arms being lifted by his men. Capiche? It was Moses' people lifting his arms, not attacking him, not grumbling against him, not giving him a hard time like Korah did, not coming against him, as we'll talk about, Miriam and Aaron later on came against Moses. That weakens the anointing and defeats the purpose of everything that the assembly is about, okay? The assembly of Israel, their strength depended on Moses' arms being lifted. Hallelujah. Okay? It depends on that. And we can't win the war. We have an adversary. Everybody say we have an adversary. We can't win the war if we don't lift the leader's arms. I don't care how many soldiers you have. You can have 500 soldiers. You can have 25 soldiers. You can have 50. You can have 1,000 soldiers. But if you don't lift the general's arms, forget it. Okay? Forget it. If you're backstabbing and you're speaking against and you're rebelling against your leader, as they did against, you know, later on we're going to see here with Aaron, you know, as long as they supported Moses as the leader and they lifted his arms, it's such a beautiful picture. The children of Israel defeated. When they dropped his arms, they would lose. They would start losing. Okay. All right, so in Exodus 32, now we come to see a different side of Aaron. So Aaron started strong. I would say Aaron started strong. Aaron started strong. He was, not only that, God used Aaron many times. God used Aaron many times. He threw down the staff, I believe, when it turned into a snake. I think Aaron threw the staff. I think he might have thrown the staff and hit the river when it turned to blood. Many of the miracles that God did, many of the plagues of Egypt, God used Aaron to perform those miracles. He used Moses too, but he also used Aaron. Okay? So it's important that we understand that. That Aaron was a key person. You know, he's a very key person. But let's go on to Exodus 32, verse 34. Now, actually, let's start in 29 because this is really neat. Moses had gone up Mount Sinai to get the covenant, to get the Ten Commandments, and to bring the tablets of the covenant down the mountain. It says it came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and two of the tablets of testimony were in Moses' hand as he was coming down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with him, with God. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. Praise the Lord. And they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers in the congregation returned to him and spoke to them. Afterward, all the sons of Israel came near, and he commanded them to do everything that the Lord had spoken to him at Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. You see, but whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. He came out and spoke to the sons of Israel, which had been commanded. The Bible says, if Moses' face shone with the glory of God, how much more, glory is there through Yeshua and the new covenant and through the Messiah. Amen. So, you know, there's greater glory. And but there was a moment when Moses, in chapter 32, it says, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us a god who will go before us. For this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.' Aaron said to them, 'Tear off the gold rings which are in your ears and your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them to me.' Then all the people tore off the gold rings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt.' Now when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord.' So the next day they rose early and burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Then the Lord told Moses to go down at once, for the people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. And Moses came down the mountain, and in verse 11 it says, 'Then Moses entreated the Lord and said, O Lord, why does your anger burn against your people, whom you have brought out from the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand?' See, he didn't understand. 'Why should the Egyptians speak, saying, with evil intent he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and destroy them from the face of the earth?' But he entreated God, 'Remember Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by yourself and said, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens, and all this land which I have spoken I will give to your descendants.' So the Lord changed his mind. He was going to destroy the people for what they did. But then Moses went down the mountain, and when he got to the bottom of the mountain and with the tablets in his hand, engraved with the finger of God, and it says in verse 17, 'Now when Joshua heard the sound of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, There's a sound of war in the camp. But he said, It's not a sound of the cry of triumph, nor is it the sound of a cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear, Moses' anger. It came about as soon as Moses came near the camp that he saw the calf of the dancing and the dancing, and Moses' anger burned. So here's Moses interceding, Lord, save the people. Thank God for you and me that Moses interceded and God repented of destroying the people. Because if God had destroyed the children of Israel, we wouldn't be here. Amen? Amen? So thank God Moses repented. You know, Moses entreated God to repent, and he turned God back. God turned back because of Moses from destroying all the people. Okay? And but when Moses wasn't angry then, but when he came down in verse 19, and he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger burned, and he threw the tablets from his hands and shattered them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf which they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it over the surface of the water and made the sons of Israel drink it. And drink it. Then Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought such great sin upon them? And Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord burn. You know the people yourself that they are prone to evil. For they said to me, make a God who will go before us. For this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know. And basically what Moses did is he said in verse 27, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, every man of you put his sword upon his thigh and go back and forth from the gate in this camp and kill every man and his brother and every man his friend. So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed. About 3,000 men of the people fell that day. 3,000 died. That was the punishment for rebelling against the Lord. And that was the punishment. Now, interestingly, Aaron wasn't punished. We find it kind of interesting that Aaron himself wasn't destroyed. He built the calf. He built the platform. He told him to give me the gold. He fashioned the calf. But yet, he wasn't destroyed. But was he judged? He did lose two sons. Two of his sons were priests, and they brought what the Bible says strange fire, probably an improper sacrifice. They sacrificed animals that weren't part of. It's thought that they sacrificed animals that were not that God did not ask to be sacrificed on the holy altar, and that brought strange fire, and so they were struck down by God and killed. And interestingly, Aaron didn't fight God. He accepted it in obedience. He accepted the death of his sons in obedience. He didn't get mad at God. He didn't lash out at God. He saw that what they did was wrong, and he accepted it. And later on, we'll see that his other son Eleazar became his follower, his heir. Okay, so we see Aaron is not. He started out running the race really strong, right? Now he's not running so good right here, is he? You know, Moses goes up the mountain for 40 days. He leaves Aaron and Hur, the same guys, Aaron and Hur, the same guys that lifted his arms. He leaves them in charge. And what do? They went back to Egypt. What do the Egyptians worship? Cows. They worship the bull. It's all Baal. It's all a bunch of bull, a bunch of Baal. they worship the cow. And they did strange things, you know. Okay? So let's go on to Numbers chapter 12. And we see another encounter here, Numbers chapter 12, where we see it says, then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman. You see, in Deuteronomy 7, Moses forbade the people, in Deuteronomy 7:3, Moses forbade the people to marry foreigners. He forbade them to marry foreigners, but Moses took a woman from Cush, which my friend Rabbi Kokeb from Ethiopia tells me Cush is Sudan. To him, it's not Ethiopia, it's Sudan. And maybe back then it was Ethiopia, but somewhere in that area on the Horn of Africa, he took a woman from Cush and he married her. He married a black woman, and and they were not happy with him. His brother and sister, they were his older sister. Miriam was the oldest, Aaron was the second oldest, and then there was Moses. And they weren't happy because he married a foreign woman. Okay? He had given the law. Turn to Deuteronomy 7:3 for a second. Hold your place here. And look in Deuteronomy 7:3. It says, furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons. I'll start in verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them before you and you defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them and show no favor to them. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me. Well, God's speaking there about the Canaanites when they enter the land. He's talking about the people that live in the land of Canaan. He didn't specifically say that Moses couldn't marry a woman from Cush on the Horn of Africa. Okay? Cushites weren't Canaanites. Capiche? So, did Moses do something wrong? I don't think he did. I think it was okay to marry someone who wasn't from the category that God said. But I think that, you know, interpreters say that they were upset with Moses because they thought he was breaking his own law. They thought Moses was breaking his own law, and so they decided, let's see what they did in Numbers chapter 12. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and to Miriam, you three come out to the tent of meeting. So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down. What did they say? They said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well? See how little, what a little seed of pridefulness, a little seed of bitterness. Do you see what just a little seed of bitterness, little jab, little comment, little negativity, a little negativity against the leader, Moses in this case, what it can cause? Let's watch. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, you three come out to the tent of meeting. So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent. He called Aaron and Miriam. When they had both come forward, he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth. Even openly and not in dark sayings, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? So the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he departed. But when the cloud had withdrawn over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, behold, she was leprous. Then Aaron said to Moses, O my Lord, I beg you, do not account this sin to us in which we have acted foolishly, and in which we have sinned. Oh, do not let her be like one dead whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes from his mother's womb. Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, O God, heal her, I pray. But the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face Would she not bear the shame for 7 days? Let her be shut up for 7 days outside the camp, and afterwards she may be received again. So in other words, God was essentially spitting in her face. And that's the way God was that was God's response to her, was like spitting in her face for her behavior. Now, I sense she was the ringleader there because she really took the heat. But then again, we see Aaron doesn't get any punishment. He gets shame. He sinned. But he doesn't get judged there. There's no link. There's no, chain of causation. There's no link to his judgment there. Although he is judged. He loses two sons. Two of his sons are burned up for bringing strange fire. And he's not permitted to enter the promised land, just like Moses, who wasn't, because Moses struck the rock, he wasn't permitted to enter the promised land, neither was Aaron. So God was not well pleased with Aaron. But his judgment, his punishment came in a different way. So Miriam was shut up, but after 7 days, the people moved out from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness. So she came back in after 7 days, and she behaved. But this, God took it very, very, very seriously. Psalm 105 says, "Do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm." Do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. And when he says that, not only do not touch, he's saying, do not speak against my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. Moses says in Deuteronomy 18:18 that he was a prophet. God says, I will raise up a prophet unto you like Moses. Amen. So it's not good to speak against God's anointed. Now let me ask you a question. God says that Cyrus, king of Persia, was his anointed. And he refers, Cyrus was a king. He wasn't even a believer. But he called, and in Isaiah 45, the Lord calls Cyrus my anointed. If Cyrus was his anointed, and he wasn't even a priest or, a man of God, would that make a man of God like Elijah or Elisha or a priest or a rabbi the Lord's anointed? Would it? Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we see we're seeing the fall of Aaron. He's really, his race is not really going well, is it? He starts out lifting up Moses' arms, doing the plagues on Egypt, helping Moses, being Moses' voice, and then he starts going downhill. And a lot of people start out serving the Lord really strong. I've seen this before. They start out gung-ho. They'll do everything. They'll serve. They'll work in the kitchen. They'll work in the sound booth. They'll work with the kids. They'll do this, and then they'll get tired of it, and then they'll start complaining, and they'll start grumbling, and all that initial zeal for the Lord just kind of crashes. And so we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. Let's look at remember Korah's rebellion. Aaron stood by Moses. This was really neat. In Korah's rebellion, could somebody look up that verse for me? In Korah's rebellion, oh, here it is, chapter 16. Now this is interesting. So now after the incident where Aaron spoke against Moses with his sister Miriam, he has a change of heart. You see, and in Korah's rebellion, look at this. In chapter 16 of Numbers, now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and on the son of Peloth, and sons of Reuben, took action. They rose up before Moses together with some of the sons of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, chosen in the assembly, men of renown. They assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone far enough, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? When Moses heard this, he fell on his face. And he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will bring him near to himself. Even the one whom he will choose, he will bring near to himself. Do this, take censers for yourselves, Korah and all your company, and put the fire in them, lay incense upon them in the presence of the Lord tomorrow, and the man whom the Lord chooses shall be the one who is holy. You have gone far enough, you sons of Levi. Then Moses said to Korah, hear now, you sons of Levi. Is it not enough that for you that... So Moses is ticked off. He's letting them have it. That the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle. Is that not enough for you? And to stand before the congregation to minister to them? And that he brought you near Korah and all your brothers, sons of Levi, with you, and you are are you seeking for the priesthood also? Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together. And then Nathan summons Dathan and Abiram and some others. If you read on, we won't read the whole thing, but in verse 16, Moses said to Korah, you and all your company be present before the Lord tomorrow, both you and they along with Aaron. Each of you take his fire pan and put incense in it, and each of you bring his censer before the Lord, 250 fire pans. Also, you and Aaron shall each bring his fire pan. So they took his own censer and put fire on it and laid incense on it, and they stood at the doorway of the tent of meeting with Moses and Aaron. And you notice, Moses and Aaron were together now. Aaron had been through the sin, and he'd sort of, I believe he'd come to repentance. And now he's back with Moses. And the glory of the Lord appeared to the congregation. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, verse 20, and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them instantly. But they fell on their faces and said, O God, God of our spirits of all flesh, when one man sins, will you be angry with the entire congregation? Then the Lord spoke. See, Moses was always trying to save them, you know. But then Moses went to Dathan and Abiram, and if we read on, if we read on down, it says in verse 31, as he finished speaking all these words, the ground that was under them, I'm talking about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, the rebels, the ground that was under them opened up its mouth and swallowed them up and their households and all their men who belonged to Korah with their possessions. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive to Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. And all Israel who were around them fled in their outcry, for they said, the earth may swallow us up. Fire also came from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering the incense. And so God was... In verse 41 it says, but on the next day all the congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, you are the ones who have caused the death of the Lord's people. It came about, however, when the congregation had assembled against Moses and Aaron, they turned toward the tent of meeting, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron came in the front of the tent, and the Lord spoke to Moses, said, get away from among this congregation, that I may consume them instantly. Then they fell on their faces. And Moses said to Aaron, take your censer. And God brought a plague upon the people. God brought a plague upon the people. And it says in verse 48, he took a stand between the dead and the living so that the plague was checked. But those who died by the plague were 14,700 besides those who died on account of Korah. So Aaron checked the plague. By burning incense to the Lord. Aaron was the one who checked the plague. So, you see, you can be anointed of God. You can have the anointing of God and be a man of God. Aaron was God's anointed. Amen? But when Aaron sinned, he got in trouble. You know, God wasn't pleased with him. But the anointing, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. That's good news, right? And so that means that the anointing, the gift and the calling of God on Aaron was irrevocable. It means his driver's license to be the high priest couldn't be taken away. That's why God didn't judge him, because he was the high priest. And God didn't. If God destroyed the high priest, well, what would, you know, there was nobody else. Aaron was the guy. That was his anointing. That was his calling. Amen? And only when he died could his, when God was finished with him, only when God was finished, when he died on Mount Hor, he was buried on Mount Hor, then the mantle, his clothing, passed to his son Eleazar. But see, it says in 1 John, it says, if we confess our sins, as Aaron did, Aaron repented when he spoke against Moses with his sister Miriam, he repented. And he said, and when he repented to God, God's word says, if we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so God restored Aaron. And Aaron died at 123, about 1451 B.C. His priestly robes were transferred to his son Eleazar as a sign of succession. And I want to read a couple scriptures and we'll conclude. 1 Corinthians 10, for I do not want you to be unaware, God is really, even in the New Testament, God does not like grumbling. God really does not like it, and he warns against it. Now let's read it in 1 Corinthians 10. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud, in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Yeshua, was Messiah. Hallelujah. Yeshua was the rock which followed them. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now, these things happen as examples, listen, for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also crave. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. In other words, they worshiped the golden calf. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happen. Listen. To them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the end of the age has come. All these things that the children of Israel did, God's telling you, and you at home, and me, and all of us, don't do it. Don't do what they did, or you'll go around the mountain. And we won't win, you know, as a congregation, if you don't lift my arms or whatever, and your pastor, your rabbi, if you don't lift your leader's arms, you know, you just destroy yourself. The Amalekites come and beat you up and kill you and destroy you. You when you don't lift your leader's arms, you don't just bring your leader down, you destroy yourself. Do you understand that? You destroy yourself. Let's turn to Hebrews 12. Why would people want to destroy themselves? They don't see it that way. That's right. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Yeshua, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let us fix our eyes on Yeshua and run the race with endurance. Let's run the race strong. Now, everybody's going to stumble. Everybody's going to trip. Everybody's going to fall. But get up. Pick yourself up, repent, confess your sins. God will restore you if you do. But I've seen people, and not just here, but all over the place, go out the door angry, go out the door unrepentant, and you know what they end up having to do? They go around the mountain again. Round and round and round and around she goes. Where she stops, nobody knows. And they go around that mountain, that old Mount Sinai, don't they? And yet, you know what? The next time they go around the mountain, it gets harder. And it gets harder and harder. It doesn't get easier. So why not pass the test the first time or the second time? And if you mess up, you know, there's grace. God will have grace for you. But why not pass the test the first time and you know, earn your stripes. We talk about Veterans Day. I'm talking about earning your stripes. Earning your oak leaf. Earning your captain's bars. Earning your lieutenant's bars. This is what I'm talking about. Every test you pass, you gain a rank. I don't promote you. Man doesn't promote you. God promotes. God takes you from E3 to Commodore. Amen? To commander. God takes you, from a lowly, you know, private or whatever. He takes you and promotes you to sergeant or to lieutenant or captain or major, colonel, lieutenant colonel, general. It's not man that does it. God promotes. And this is what I'm talking about on Veterans Day. And you veterans know this. Chain of command. You open your mouth in the military to your commanding officer. You open your mouth. You get in a fight you with another soldier or sailor. You do something dumb. You end up in the brig. And you think you're going to get promoted? Dream on, buddy. Dream on. Look at Bo Bergdahl. Where's Bo Bergdahl? He just got dishonorably discharged, and they should have sent him to an island, because I wouldn't want to be Bo Bergdahl walking around the United States. He'd probably have to go to France or something, you know, to start a new life, because somebody's gonna kick his butt. I'm guessing, you know, because men died going after that man. Praise the Lord. Aaron died at 123, about 1451 BC. His priestly robes were transferred to his son Eleazar as a sign of succession. Conclusion: Aaron began a good race. He stumbled, but he finished okay. He did not enter the promised land. His two sons died. Number two, God purged the rebels. Golden calf, Korah, but he defended Moses. In our day, he gives us 1 Corinthians 10. This is important too. Turn to Ezekiel 20. And this is very important for the Exodus that's coming, that you understand this. There's an Exodus coming, and I believe it's coming in the next 7 years. And I preached yesterday. I talked to a Baptist church here in town. I was at Tennessee Avenue Baptist Church talking about 100 people, men and women, and they asked me to teach on the last president of the United States, part two. And since half the people hadn't heard it, I had to teach both parts of it. And as I was rereading Daniel 8, I saw that it's so clear to me that if Iran is not destroyed during this presidency, if their nuclear capability is not destroyed, as Daniel 8 says, This is for the end. Daniel 8 says, this is for the time of the indignation at the very end. It says it. You know, this, it says, this is for the time of the indignation. And if Iran's nuclear threat isn't destroyed by the goat from the west, doesn't destroy the ram that's bucking with two horns, which is Persia, Medo-Persia. I'm not talking about Alexander the Great. Yes, it was Alexander in one fulfillment, but in the second fulfillment, at the end of days, because Alexander didn't live in the end of days, this goat from the west comes in Daniel chapter 8, and he destroys Iran, and he destroys Medo-Persia. When I looked at a map of Medo-Persia, and I looked at it in the time of Daniel, and we looked at the map, it was the territory of the Medes, was the territory of ISIS. So it showed me that this leader from the west was going to come in the end of days and destroy ISIS and destroy the Iranians. Now, you know, God always leaves a remnant. He doesn't destroy completely, usually. He leaves a remnant. But what God showed me was, we have 7 years. If, first of all, Iran's nuclear program isn't going to take but a year or two or three before they're going to be a threat like North Korea. Do you understand that? They're more dangerous than North Korea. They're more crazy. They're more a threat to us, and they have more money than North Korea. Much more, because they have oil. Not only that, they're a threat to Israel. They're a threat to Israel. And God's, why does Iran have to be destroyed in the next 7 years during this presidency? Because they cannot nuke Israel. It's not in the Bible. And if they nuke Israel, which they say they're going to do, then God's word isn't true, and God is a liar. But we know God's word is true. God isn't a liar, and that sometime in the next 7 years, an American president, because only from America can there be, we have the power to destroy Iran's nuclear weapons. Do you know how deeply buried in the ground their nuclear facilities are? They have about 20 or 30 nuclear facilities all over the country, hardened in mountains underneath, you know, they've dug deep tunnels. Only the United States has the military power. Israel doesn't even have it. Israel could nuke them. They could do that. That might do it. But I don't think the whole idea is to do it without nuking them. We have, you know, only America has the military power to bring them down. Do you understand that? And so, but here's the thing. So if that's true, then the exodus of the Jewish people and many Christians is coming. It's coming in the next 7 years, I believe. We're going to return. Aliyah, the great Aliyah from the West back to Israel, from Canada, from North America, from South America. The Jewish people in fulfillment of the law of Jubilee, in fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he would, the Jewish people and his people would inherit the land as an everlasting possession. And I believe that includes those who are grafted in too, will come one day. And you say, Rabbi Joe, Messianic Jews can't get citizenship. Well, you heard the miracle God did for me in Nashville. He parted the sea. And God can part the sea for you and me too, right? Yeah. Amen. But be careful, because in Ezekiel 20, verse 33, it says, as I live, declares the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, with wrath poured out, I shall be king over you. I will bring you out from the peoples, he's talking to the Jews, and gather you from the lands where you were scattered, with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with wrath poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and I will enter into judgment with you face to face. The King James says, I will plead with you face to face. Listen to me here, guys. As I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will enter into judgment with you. Say me. He says, as I entered into judgment with them in the land of Egypt, I will enter into judgment with you. I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. So those Jews and you know, who do not know the Lord, who are going to make it to Israel, are going to be brought into the bond of the new covenant. And he says, and listen, Shema Israel, hear, O Israel, and I will purge from you the rebels who transgress against me. I will purge from you the rebels, those who transgress against me. Folks, we're living in the last days. The Exodus is coming, and God is purging people who rebel against Aliyah. Aliyah is holy. It's Exodus. The Exodus was holy. Moses was holy. Remember, what did the people kept saying? We're holy too. God said, sure, they were holy, but they were challenging Moses, their leader. You know, and God is saying, don't mess with the guy that brought you out of Egypt. Don't mess with Aliyah. Don't mess with the Exodus. Don't rebel. Don't rebel in the wilderness. Amen? I will purge the rebel, says the Lord. You want to fight the leaders of Exodus 2, of Aliyah from the west? God will purge you. He'll spit you out. I've heard the voice of the Lord speak to me about a certain person who rebelled one time. And you know what the Lord said to me? I believe, you know, it was God, I'm pretty sure. He said, they will not enter my land. And you know what? To this day, those people have not entered his land. They will not enter my land. That's what God said to me. Okay? So this is serious stuff, gang. And it's Ezekiel 20, verse 33 on. So let's run the race with endurance, looking to Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's not grumble. Let's not rebel. Let's not be... Look at the life of Aaron and follow the Lord. 1 Timothy 5:12, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, the younger men as brethren. Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief. Don't give your shepherd grief. Don't cause grief to your shepherd. Give him joy. Give your shepherds joy. Don't be a source of grief. It won't profit you. It says in the scripture, Hebrews 13:17, for that is unprofitable for you. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for that this is right. And Leviticus 19:32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, the gray head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Please rise. I want to bless you. Even the angels don't speak against Satan. That's right. Amen. Amen. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panaveilecha. Bechunecha Yisa Adonai Panavelecha Vayasem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. And let me just say one last thing. If you see people grumbling, and you see the seed of negativity and bitterness, which destroys the anointing and the fiery hand, and destroys you. If you see it taking place, you need to tell those people that they need to go to their leader. If they're grumbling against their Moses, you need to tell them to go and speak and confess and repent, or go to God and repent and stop it. And if you're around it and you hear negative talk and you hear grumbling and you hear rebellion, you tell those people, unless you can say it to our leaders, you tell them, I don't want to hear it, and get away from them as fast as you can. You understand me? And if you challenge people who rebel and grumble and speak negativity and bring the anointing down, bring the arms of the leader down, and cause us to lose the war, if you do that, if you challenge them, you put them in a corner. You bring them, if everybody stands shoulder to shoulder, Hine matovu manayim shevet achim gam yachad, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. For it is like the oil, even the oil that flowed down Aaron's beard. It commands the blessing, eternal life. Shabbat shalom. Thank you, folks on Facebook. God bless you. Shabbat shalom today. Isaac.